You're listening to the Jason Greger Show podcast, brought to you by Lakewood Chevy. Truck Nation, get into a Chevy now. The truck that always has your back. Receive up to $12,000 off select 2018 trucks only at Lakewood Chevy. John Matisse from the Toronto Sun was there, joins us now. John, how you doing?
Good, guys. How are you?
Excellent. I read your article about it. I guess, first of all, when you go there, were you going looking for something, or did a few things kind of just fall into your lap when you were there?
I kind of go just looking to talk to kids that haven't had the spotlight turned on them. So generally speaking, you know, I'll not avoid the top guys, but, you know, I'll maybe take some more time to talk to a guy who's going to go late first round, or maybe a guy who has an interesting story who's going in the second or third round. Just because it's sort of an odd event where there's not much to report on in terms of what you're seeing, because there's these tests. What do they really mean? And, you know, what does it really mean to their draft stock? But then when you get to talk to the kids, it's about where they came from, what they're all about. So I sort of map out guys that may be interesting, and then spend some time with them.
Okay. It was interesting talking about, you know, video games. I know there was Jeff Merrick, they had it on their podcast, talk about, oh, you know, one recent pick is, you know, has a gaming addiction. And I'm not surprised by that. You know, lots of NHLers admit they play for 4 or 5 hours a day, but a lot of them play in the afternoon when they don't have anything else to do, right? So, you know, as long as you're not playing until the wee hours of the morning, it's not necessarily going to be the worst thing for you. But, you know, when you talk to players about that, are the young guys now more concerned? Is that something teams are asking them about?
Oh, yeah. It was between that and some weird question about a bus. The one, I'll just explain the bus one. This is what the prospects told us, so it's sort of, you know, broken telephone, but apparently the Capitals were asking players, hey, when we hold this picture up, this picture of a bus, which way is it going? I don't know what that tells the team, but their answer was important for whatever reason. So there was that question that was very prevalent that a lot of prospects brought up when you asked them about weird questions. And then the other one was the video games. It took on, obviously, a life of its own over the last few weeks, and I think it really went mainstream, but I think that for the last year, maybe two, maybe 3 years, there's been some concern overall, just because just the way that some of these games are so addicting and how it spreads. It doesn't matter if you play hockey or if you're working at the local McDonald's or wherever. If you're a teenager and you're into this and your friends are, you know, if you get in too deep, it's going to get ugly. So a lot of kids were asked about it, and I think that it's a pretty fair question from NHL teams' perspective, because they're investing so much money in this draft pick. And, you know, they're going to do their research, their background, and they might be able to find it out through other people if there is a video game problem with the prospect A. But actually asking the kid and seeing how he reacts to it, I think, is one of those psychological tests that they try to do in these interviews. And it seemed like almost to a prospect, they were asked about it. And it wasn't necessarily, hey, don't play this game, Fortnite, the one that everyone seems to be raving about. But it was more, hey, how often do you play it, and why do you play it? And just trying to get to know the kid and see if it is maybe an issue bubbling under the surface. So the prospects were pretty good in terms of talking about that, because I think it's just such a common thing for it to be brought up now that they felt comfortable just explaining the whole thing to us media members who maybe aren't so plugged in with the video game culture.
John Matisse from the Toronto Sun joins us. Now, going back to that question about the Capitals, so they would show a bus, just a bus, and which way is the bus going? Did the players tell you what their answer was?
Yeah, but I think I'd have to see the photo to really, you know, explain the whole thing. It just seems very random. I don't really know what they get out of it. I know that a lot of teams have psychologists in the room. I know that it's evolved over the years from just, you know, your GM, your assistant GM, a couple scouts, to an actual, more of a scientific process. And for whatever reason, the Capitals thought that was an important thing to do. I didn't look into it deep enough to really get a good handle on what the picture looked like or which way was right, which one was wrong, but it came up with a few kids. So that tells you that at least that information is correct.
Now, when you look at you know, the draft. And when you talk to scouts, I think now they're more so looking for almost mental things than necessarily physical, because, you know, some of the activities they do there aren't going to resonate at all to seeing if you're a good hockey player or not. I do think there's a few that can put a player in an uncomfortable position to just see how willing, you know, how far they can go to push themselves, the wing gate, for example, and different things like that. But, you know, when you talk to hockey people, are there things they'd like to change about the combine?
I don't know if I think there's somewhat of an appetite for some kind of on-ice testing. I think it would be great for fans. I think if it's not, you know, game style, if it's just these drills, you know, hardest shot, fastest skater, stuff like that we see at the All-Star game. I think if you're going to do the fitness testing, you might as well have some on-ice component to it. I think there is some appetite, but again, it's, as the NHL works, things move slowly and there's a tradition to be broken. But also the other side of it, sort of the other side of the coin, is these prospects have been, you know, focused on hockey their entire year. This is sort of weaning them into the off season. And, you know, they've done international hockey, they've done skills development, they do their practices, their club team. The list goes on and on, and once you get drafted, you go to development camp and rookie camp, and there's already so much responsibility that I'm a little hesitant to get on the on-ice component bandwagon, just for that reason, that these kids are already dealing with so much. But at the end of the day, these tests, while some of them don't seem to translate to hockey, you know, standing long jump or anything really that involves jumping, it's going to tell you that he's a good athlete. But I don't know if that's truly something that a hockey player has to be good at. I think what teams do and what media and fans should do is if there's you know, a red flag, a guy who scores really low across the board, okay, maybe we investigate why that is. Or a guy who ends up really shining, like Liam Foudy, who ranked very highly in a lot of the categories. Maybe teams are going, you know what, this guy seems like a sure thing in terms of being an athlete. Maybe he goes up a peg if we're between him and another prospect on draft day. So I think at the extreme ends of the spectrum, the testing is important, but everything else is more or less noise, in my opinion.
John Matisse joins us now. John, you had some interesting tidbits from some of the players. One was Jack Drury, of course. His dad was Ted Drury, Chris Drury, his uncle. He's into stoicism, and he's never had a social media account, which he's got to be one of the few guys, like nothing, not Instagram, not Facebook, not Twitter, not Snapchat. Like, that's extremely rare for that young age.
Yeah, and you know what? He did his scrum. Most of the high-end prospects do a scrum with the cameras and recorders and everything. And I heard him say it in passing, like, oh, I've never been on social media. And I'm thinking in my head, okay, like, he's just kind of saying that. And then I pulled him aside after. I said, you know, is that true? And he says, yeah, I've never had him. And I had to ask him again, are you sure? Because it just seems so crazy that he didn't, like, I could understand blacking out for certain times or just having Twitter or just having Snapchat. But he claims that he's never had any social media, which is very commendable, and that's maybe something that NHL teams go, hey, this kid's different, this kid's driven, this kid doesn't follow the pack. So there's that to take away from it, and also he seems to spend his time wisely. Otherwise, he reads a lot of books, and he's going to Harvard. Like, there seems to be some depth there. But overall, when he told me that, I go, are you sure? Like, it just seems so unbelievable for an 18-year-old kid living in this age where, you know, all of his friends to a person are just obsessed with social media. It's pretty interesting that he's never dipped his toe into it.
Yeah, it's very strange. Now, any other names after talking to players and even to scouts that, you know, not the top-end guys. I think we've kind of talked about the top-end players a lot, but, you know, there's always good second, third, fourth-round picks. Not a lot every year, but there's always a few that turn out to be very good players or just a little bit late developers and overlooked. Any guys that tweaked your interest because of that?
Yeah, this guy, Johnny Tichonic, he might go late first, but maybe early second, or you never know how the draft unfolds and who's on whose draft boards, but he's definitely not, you know, a top 15 guy. But he plays in the BCHL for the Penticton Bees and had a phenomenal season, put up almost a point per game from the blue line. And this guy's personality is completely magnetic. No word of a lie, I don't throw these types of these types of adjectives around, but he's very charming and very like energetic and a type of guy that seems quote unquote good in the room. I know that those intangibles are hard to quantify and all that kind of stuff, and you don't want to read too much into them, but he just seems like a kid that really wants it and that, you know, has the positivity around him that if he has a goal, he might reach it. And he had me and a couple other reporters howling just during a small scrum, just talking about hockey and about his path and everything. He's bouncing off the wall with energy. And he felt like he came to the combine to sort of prove something. He felt like, you know, it's the team's responsibility to look at me and judge me, and I want to be my best self. He sort of had that attitude, which I thought was interesting because, as you guys know, prospects are trained to not have personality, and he's sort of gone the other way with it where he's like, hey, this is me. This is what you're going to get. So that's his personality. And then on the ice, he's going to the University of North Dakota, and seems like a very interesting prospect, going down a different route as a Canadian kid, going to college and just being very sure about it and not backing down and thinking about the WHL. He said he's not interested in that. So he should be interesting as sort of a smaller, offensively minded defenseman that will go probably late first round, early second. We'll see.
Really appreciate the rundown, John. The draft is less than 3 weeks away, and based on the last few years, we should be intrigued by a few draft week trades. That's kind of been the big time for trades, more so the past summer. So we look forward to seeing that continue. Thanks for your time.
Thank you, guys. Cheers.